Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They all speak words. We don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. We don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Yeah.
a God who can use this. I believe the children still the future. I believe a God who renews us. I believe if he parted seas, this disease gotta bow to the ruler.
Experiencing Spiritual Unity with Dr. Benjamin Bridges, and we're going to bring him on right now. Give a nice hand.
Yes, sir, my brother. Glad to we can make it on the show today, or I should say tonight. And, you know, thanks for participating and helping to get things up and running there. But one thing I would like to say to everyone is peace and blessings to everyone that is on with us at this time, because, you know, sometimes, you know, when things are a little difficult and putting everything together, sometimes we miss out on some folks. But for those that are really supposed to be on today, those are the ones that are on right now. And I do appreciate, you know, the fact that you guys are on. And I just wanted to say that right now, at this time period, it's really a great blessing for us to come together in spiritual unity, because in doing so, we can definitely be a blessing to our community. And again, is awakening to the fact that, you know, things are starting to go down in regards to the murdering of our kids. Matter of fact, I did hear, unfortunately, of 3 kids getting shot. But they were shot in a parking lot, but they were not killed. But they were, of course, hurt from the shooting. But that's a big difference between the normal, you know, calls that come in, and they tell you that, you know, there's, you know, 4 over here that got killed, there's 2 over there that got killed, and so forth. But I still haven't heard of any murdering of our kids, you know, and that's a good thing. So I'm still looking at that as a positive situation where, even though 3 people did get shot, you know, youth got shot. The bottom line was that they weren't killed. And, you know, like I said, you know, with these gang wars starting up, just all you hear off and on is this one got killed, that one got killed, and the other. And the good thing about it right now is that, you know, I haven't heard of any murders at this time. So all I can say is that when you really start to project and utilize in harmony, working with the power of God, there's some great and awesome and amazing things that can come about. And thus far, you know, I'm glad to see that the numbers of kids getting killed is not even, you know, on up and running as it was earlier, you know, before we even started the prayer and meditation program, you know, with spiritual unity. And I'm also glad to see that, you know, like I said earlier, that I'm glad to see a shooting occurred instead of a murdering occurred. It's a good thing. And the next thing that we're going to do is make sure that there are no shootings at all. And we can do that as well. The bottom line is, you know, as even, you know, it's said in the Bible, if two or three are touching and agreeing in my name, I shall be there in the midst to bless. If two or three are touching and agreeing in my name, I shall be there in the midst to bless. So you don't necessarily have to have 50, 100, 1,000 people to do a prayer with in order for it to work, or even a meditation and visualization for it to work. What you do need to have is someone that's not a doubting Thomas, not a doubting Thomasina, but someone that has full faith in God, someone that has full faith in Christ. And when you do have full faith in God and Christ, and you project that out for the blessing of our community or for individuals that you know in your family or other situations, what can literally happen is that those people can receive a great blessing that can come through, especially when you're doing it in spiritual unity and we're coming together. Because, as I said before, you know, I never forget a situation where we had in one meditation group that we had, we had a sister that had literally, you know, been told by her boss because her lease had run out. And when your lease runs out, a lot of times, you know, the owner will just, you know, continue on with the same payment that you have to make and just do it for another year or two and just re-sign you back up. But some of them say, hey, wait a minute, you know, the lease has run out. Guess what? I'm going to increase the amount of rent you got to pay. And they put it up, you know, a few hundred dollars, you know, which put her in a bad situation because she didn't have, you know, that access of money. And I think it was like about $500 or $600 that was added on to her amount that she had to pay now for, you know, staying in that, the apartment that she had. But anyway, make a long story short, what ended up happening, the landlord told her, said, listen, if you do not come up with this extra $500 or $600, you know, within a month's time, I'm going to have to, you know, tell you goodbye. I'm going to have to go either to court or just tell you to find someplace else to live before, you know, this month runs out because, you know, I'm looking to raise the rent for this so I can make more money. And she was like, wow. You know, she was really shocked to see that because, number one, like I said, she didn't have the money. But she did, a week later, she came to us with our real estate, not a real estate, but with our investment group of folks with the right consciousness in doing prayer and meditation, and that was investing within the ability to make positive change in God and Christ. And that's what we did. We had our meditation group there and prayer group, and what ended up happening, she came to us and we did a prayer and meditation on that, seeing that she was going to be able to get the money for her situation where she needed more money for, you know, paying the rent. And then basically what ended up happening, which was a great situation that came about, you know, her boss called her up and told her, listen, you know, I just want you to know that I'm increasing your amount of income, you know, by getting more payment on, you know, your job. You know, you've been here for, you know, a couple of years with us and you've been a good worker, so I'm going to help you out. You know, plus I heard that you need some help, so I don't have a problem with that. So he raised enough money for her so that on the job income that she was making, so that she could cover and pay the additional rent that she owed. Plus, the other thing that was ended up happening was that he also bought a car for her and said, hey, you know, payment money down for you, so you have the car now. All you have to do at this point is just make the additional monthly payment. And I didn't buy it in full, but I got the initial portion of it done so that, you know, you can make the monthly payment. And because of that situation, I also added additional money on for your, you know, job payment so that you could cover, you know, your situation with your, you know, apartment and also, you know, with your situation with this new car. So anyway, you know, wish you all the best with this and, you know, take care. And when he told her that, she said, wow. She got back to us and called us and told us what happened. And we all were, like, really glad to see that in putting that positive energy out there and visualizing and seeing her receiving the money, that she got it. We didn't even put that out there for the car, but she even got that on top of dealing with the money for her rent, which was really wonderful. So I was really glad to see that, you know, she received even an extra blessing, which was good because she was way on the opposite side of town in California and dealing with her job. And basically being as she was, and she was a nice distance away, she was constantly complaining about how she had to get on this bus and travel, you know, for a good distance, you know, in this bus with all these bunches of people and everything. And she was saying how, you know, she was like, yeah, this is really, you know, a pain in the neck, you know. But anyway, what ended up happening, word must have gotten back to her, you know, boss. And he said, you know what, I'll hook her up on both rent, and I'll hook her up so that she can get a car. All she has to do is be willing to drive it from home to, you know, to the job and to be in good shape. And she was, you know, she took that car and, you know, she got to work a lot quicker, a lot easier, and it just made life a lot smoother for her. So all I can say is that is just one incident where we came together and, you know, helped to solve a problem that a person was going through financially. And this can be something that we could do for us as a people as well. It doesn't only have to just be for the murdering of our youth, but it can also be that we can manifest wealth for our people as well. And I think that's something that we need to, you know, look at the fact that we have these abilities, but I know that we've been told that that's something we can never do. So I understand why, you know, we feel that that's something that can't be occurred, but it can. And the spiritual power of God and Christ is way more powerful than these, you know, knucklehead, you know, politicians, you know, that want to play games with us. Because a lot of times, politicians are just looking out for themselves. And I'll never forget, one mayor actually told me, I'm not going to mention his name, because I don't want him to come back and say, why did you tell him what I told you, you know? But anyway, what this mayor told me, he said, the only way that you could tell a good mayor is a mayor that only takes a small amount of money out of the city. Not a lot, you know, because this is money that should stay in the city and should pay for different programs and things to help people out. But a good mayor will only take a small amount of money out. He said a bad mayor would take a huge amount of money out of what the city money is, you know, and he'll try to be greedy and get as much money that he can put stuff into his wallet as possible and hope that, you know, no one will, you know, try to, you know, get him in trouble behind doing that. But the bottom line is that, you know, politics is why they call it politics, because there's so much involved with it. We do need to be involved with it. We can't turn our back on it, because if we had another 4 years of dealing with Trump instead of dealing with Biden, you know, it could have been a very, very terrible situation, because Trumpity Dumpity is definitely dumping as much junk on us as possible. You know, even the insults of what he was saying of us as a people. He said we are shithole people from shithole countries, which is crazy. Never heard any president say anything as negative and as twisted as what he was saying in a racist and negative way. But he was right on television when he said that, you know? And I was like, wow, he got the nerve to say something like that to the general public? Normally, you know, they get in these little private meetings and, you know, they talk about a lot of different people, whether it be blacks, Hispanics, or whoever, you know? But the bottom line is that that's in privacy. But when you go to get on public television and tell everybody in the country, this is how you think about black people, this is how you think about Latinos, you know, because he even had a very racist statement to say about them, that they're all, you know, murderers and racists. I mean, what? Latinos are murderers and racists? What are you talking about? It's crazy, you know, to hear that kind of talk coming from a president. Now, I could see if you're from the Ku Klux Klan or if you're from the Nazis or some other racist group or organization that feels a lot of hatred towards a certain types of people. But when you're the president of the United States, the reason why they call it the United States is because you're supposed to be looking out for, you know, all the different states and all the different people. But that's not where Homeboy was coming from. And that's why he didn't get reelected. You know, not only that, there was quite a few different things that he did as president that was really, you know, ridiculous. And, you know, it just didn't make any sense. Anyway, make a long story short, when we can deal with things not only from a political standpoint where we do need to make sure that the right people are going to go into office. So when we just say, you know, politics is so corrupt, I don't even want to deal with it. The problem with that is that that's when the people that you would think would be the worst people to come into office will come into office, and they'll use their power to make your life even more miserable or more negative than you've ever seen it before. So we have to make sure that we don't allow those people to come into office and act crazy and stupid, you know, really take advantage of us in a worse and more terrible way. So we do need to deal with that to a certain extent. But the other side of it, which I believe is even more important, is to start to see things from a spiritual perspective. Because if you don't really take a look at the fact that the power of God in Christ is phenomenal, it's amazing, it's spectacular. But the bottom line is we have to know that and we need to utilize it. And if we start to utilize God's power and we start to utilize Christ's power to help our people, then we can turn things around. We can even turn, you know, just like we turned the negative, you know, gangbangers around that wanted to kill each other, you know, and we were able to see the divine light of God in Christ going into their minds and hearts and turning their situation around, we could do the same thing with, you know, these murdering racist cops that have been killing our people, you know, whether they're killing our women, whether they're killing our children, or whether they're killing our brothers, you know, as well. It doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is you don't have to think, well, you know, they're not killing too many of them, you know, so that's okay. They can kill them. No, it's not okay. And we don't need to let these racist police officers kill our people. And we can end it. But the bottom line is if you don't believe you can end it, then that's where it's going to continue. Sometimes the situation even gets worse because they're saying, wow, you know, I don't know. I heard this year we killed about 40 or 50 black people or maybe even 100. But the bottom line is, you know, I don't really even see any major protests or any kind of real serious reaction from them. So next year, I guess we could do that or even more. And when they start talking like that, you know, about what they can do because they don't see anything coming from us, then that's when things can get worse. But the bottom line is, again, we can use the spiritual power of God in Christ to actually turn the situation around. But it can only happen if we believe that this is something that we can achieve. And that's what we need to see, the new reality of what can truly come about without a doubt, and know that this is something that can really happen. And once we start to see this from that perspective, utilizing the spiritual power instead of just dealing with other aspects, because it's true, we not only need politics to a certain extent. We not only need finance improvements as well in our lives, because we don't need to be broke and down and out without any cash. What we need to do is to utilize our financial opportunities as well. But all of that can come through the light of God's total transformational power. And all we need to do is start to see it and believe it and utilize it. Because if we don't believe it, if we don't really want to deal with it, then as far as achieving it, it's not going to really happen. But when we come together in spiritual unity and start to focus on bringing about this awesome and amazing thing for our people and our community, it can really happen. And it doesn't have to be something that we consider to be a joke. This can be something that can really happen. And like I said, I know I've had, you know, a number of great opportunities that have come to me through Christ and through the Lord. And also, I know there's people out here that are listening right now that have had, you know, some awesome and amazing situations that have happened in their life through God and Christ as well. But the bottom line is, they shouldn't be isolated situations that just occurred at one time or another. We should take that as what did occur and say, wow, if that occurred at that particular time, we can make it happen again. We can utilize the doctrine of that truly through our faith, through our devotion for God and Christ. We can start to really bring about some really powerful and wonderful change. But again, you have to believe it in order to achieve it. And if you don't believe it, then it's going to be pretty rough to bring about some positive change to come about. But the good thing about it is I know we can make it happen. And I know that this is something that will really, really be awesome and amazing to our people. And, you know, once we really start to conceive this, and once we start to see more and more positive results, that's when you're going to get more and more people to come on board if this is true. So all I can say for right now is I'm glad to see that the murdering of our youth has been coming down. I haven't heard of anything on that. I did hear of a shooting where three youth got shot, but they were not killed, and that's a good thing. Not so much that I'm glad to see that they got shot, no, but I'm glad to see that they didn't get murdered, because normally that was what we were hearing on a regular basis. Three people got murdered over here, two people got murdered over there, you know, four or five people got murdered over here. This guy over here got shot and they put 15 bullets in him. This one over, you know, all kind of crazy stuff is happening, and you hear so much of it that you're like saying, whoa, I mean, look at all these kids getting killed. But now, you know, those numbers I'm not hearing, and I'm glad that I'm not hearing, you know, and I'm glad I'm not hearing about the murder. But the bottom line is we need to start to continually put that energy out there, and even for other situations, you know, in regards to these racist police officers and other situations that we consider to be really crucial problems that are happening in our community. We need to look at that, and we need to deal with that. And once we start to really focus on seeing that as something that we can do as far as bringing about positive change, as far as totally transforming our situations that we're in right now, that's when we're going to see some serious and wonderful things come about. But again, you have to believe it in order to achieve it. And once you start doing that, that's when it's going to come about. Because it's not a question of whether God has the ability to do this. You know, as I stated before, if you have God who created this planet, and this is just one planet in the universe where there's hundreds of thousands of planets in the universe, you got suns and stars, moons, you got different planets where there's trees and oceans and different things, and you even have alien races. You're the human race, but there's also alien races on different planets as well. And all of these things are in existence, and God created it. So if God created, you mean to tell me he doesn't have the power to stop the murdering of our people? You mean to tell me he doesn't have the power of allowing us to be wealthy and live a happy and positive life? You mean to tell me that God is limited and just doesn't have the ability? No, he does. But the big part of all of this is that we need to know that he does and start to utilize that as a source of an opportunity to bring about positive change. And once we start to really focus on this again, to bring about some serious change in our lives and in the lives of others, we're going to see that come about. The beautiful thing about this is it's not a question of I think it might work or thing, because, you know, you're going to find definitely doubting Thomases and doubting Thomasinas that are going to tell you what, God can do what? Get out of here. God can't. Jesus what? Jesus can't. Get out of here. Jesus can't do that. You know, you're going to find people that think that way and believe that these are things that they would never be able to do and that they don't even have the power to do that. But the bottom line is they do. We've already seen it in thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of different situations that have happened around the world for people, where people's lives are being saved, people's lives are being resurrected from the dead. You know, you have a number of miraculous things that have happened through the power of God in Christ. But the thing about it is, if you don't take that on a serious level of knowing, if you could do that at that time for this person, if you could do that by stopping the gang wars, if you could do that by stopping slavery, and stopping, you know, oppression where we had to deal with, we couldn't even go to their schools, we couldn't go into hotels, we couldn't go into their stores or anything like that at one point, back in the 50s and the 60s, and even before that, of course. But the bottom line is that, you know, once people started to come together, you know, with the churches and everything, and they started doing their marches and, you know, started the civil rights movement, that's when some real great and awesome things came about. But the problem was, you know, our community got flooded with drugs shortly thereafter because, you know, I know people were somewhat fearful of what are these guys going to do next. But all I can say is that being that we were successful in coming together, you know, in the 60s, you know, and it's not about, again, the number of people, but it's utilizing the most powerful force in the universe, which is God. And if you utilize that power to help you, but of course, first, not, you know, I'm going to tell God he needs to do this and he needs to do that. You're asking for his love and for his mercy. And if he is willing to allow that to happen, then that's a great and wonderful thing that can come about. Because with his power, there's nothing that can stop God. You know, there's nothing that can stop him from doing anything that he really wants. And the beautiful thing about it is we need to know that. And we need to, as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. We need to come in oneness with God. We need to come into harmony with God. And by doing that, we can really, really start to see some great and wonderful things come about. But how can any of this come about if we do not believe that it can? So changing the mindset, changing our feelings towards leaving God and Christ out of the picture when it comes to really bringing about some positive change in our lives is not the answer. We really, really, really need to see things from another perspective. And once we do, we will be able to truly, truly start to benefit from all of that negativity in the past. And none of that crazy stuff will be able to last because it will totally be transformed and the blessing of God will truly be upon us. And all I can say is I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's awesome and amazing in Christ. Awesome and amazing spiritual power, we can definitely bring some wonderful and positive things about. So the power of spiritual unity will definitely be a blessing to our community. But we have to believe it in order to achieve it. And there's no need to put up brick walls of hatred to divide us from coming together, you know? And that's another thing. You know, whether it's religion, Muslims, Jews, Christians, we all need to come together. And in our doing so, that's a great and wonderful thing because, you know, you can't really, you know, be in a situation where, you know, for example, even with the healing meditation that I do, you know, majority of the people I deal with are Christians. But now and then I do find folks that are, you know, Hebrew Israelites that are Jews, black Jews. And I also find some Muslims as well that come to me as well for the healing meditation. And when I deal with that with them, I don't say, oh, no, you're not a Christian. I don't care if you're on your deathbed. That's too bad for you. You just got to die. Die. I don't say that. I said, okay, if you're a Muslim and you're really feeling bad and you're timing out, let's see what we can do in regards to seeing if I can help you. And I'm not going to be here to tell you that every person I've ever dealt with I was able to cure, so that's not true. But I was able to help quite a few people that I was able to, you know, put that energy out there for, and I was able to really see about some positive change coming about for them. And that's a good thing, when you could actually, you know, not just see things like, well, no, no, if this person's not a Muslim like me, I'm not going to deal with them. And if they're dying, they're just going to have to die. Or this person's not a Christian, I'm not going to deal with them. We have to be open, and that's one of the things called spiritual unity. That, you know, yes, right now we're talking about God and Christ and coming together under that umbrella. But also, you know, taking away the unfortunate negative walls of hatred that we put up, because if you're not from this religion or that religion or the other, we don't want to deal with you. We don't want to talk with you. We don't want to have nothing to do with you. And these are things that we don't need to deal with, you know. So even with the civil rights movement, it wasn't just a thing where Christians alone were dealing with this. But you also had Muslims that got involved in it as well, and black people. And we all came together and dealt with it. And that was the last time I would say that I really saw a huge, huge amount of our people coming together to help each other out. So if we can do this in spiritual unity where no race, no religion walls of hatred are there, and we can really come together and trying to help one another regardless of whether you're Muslim or Christian or a Jew, it doesn't make a difference. Because the majority of our people are from those three, you know, religions. So anyway, the one thing I definitely will say is that this is something that we can do to make some positive and wonderful things come through. We just need to really, really start to see things from a more positive and wonderful perspective, and just know that these are things that can really happen for us. So I'm glad that we had a chance to really just touch base on the beginning part of this, because that's something that, you know, we needed to touch base on and to deal with. But the other thing that we spoke about earlier in the other person's program, Brother Greg, and that was dealing with the financial piece. And that is an important part of this as well, because just dealing with this from the perspective of seeing things, you know, in our communities where financially a lot of our people are drowning out, what we could do is bring some positive change about. But we need to start to see things from a different perspective and start to utilize, like we were talking about earlier, different programs and things of that sort. And even as my brother was talking about from the political piece, we can't afford to totally ignore the political piece at all, because, like I said, we had Stumpity Dumpity back in the office right now, there's no telling where our people would be. I don't know if we would be back in slavery, but one thing for sure, we would be definitely in a much worse situation than we are now, because he was not here to help us. He was definitely there, you know, and he even verbally said it. You guys are shithole people from shithole countries. I mean, how, you know, crazy can you be as a president to say something like that? That's ridiculous, you know? But anyway, these are things that have been said by him, and this is the type of situation he would have been dealing with, which shows that if you got a president that's saying such racist and disrespectful things about your people, you know that he doesn't have any respect or any care for wanting to help your people, really. I mean, at times when he does try to help us, it's just before the election time, and of course he wants you to vote for him then. And unfortunately, there's a number of our people that do want to vote for him, regardless of the negative things he's done to our people. And said, you know, all of that. But anyway, you know, this Uncle Tom's out there and Uncle Thomasina's out there that are against our folks, but, you know, and they want to just do whatever Master Charlie says to do. But the bottom line is we really need to come together with a positive point of view, with spirituality for our people. And once we start to really do that, we're going to see some really positive change in our community. And it can come about, without a doubt, no question about it. So anyway, I did want to touch base on that and, you know, just let you know that these are things that I know we can do, but we just need to, you know, focus on them so that we could, you know, start to see about, you know, bringing about some of these positive things that we would like to do. And it's something that can really happen for us. And the other piece that is really important, too, you know, is that, you know, we're looking at our health situations as well. And, you know, right now with this whole COVID thing, you know, this is really a trip because we got some serious problems with this COVID. You know, the first question is, next time I'm going to bring the brother's name on because he came up with this suggestion, and he's supposed to be the only black, you know, person that was one of the inner circle people at the top where you had the medical industry here in this country, you know. And, you know, he had said that he, you know, had run across what he considered the fact that the COVID virus is not a virus that, you know, just came out of nature and, you know, just caused this virus. But he was saying it was made in a laboratory, and he actually, you know, went into the laboratory one day, you know, in the building that he was in, and he said that he saw this gentleman that, you know, he felt was making the COVID, you know, formula so that it could be something that could be utilized, you know, to spread throughout, you know, different countries and stuff. And when he said that, he put that out there, you know, on Facebook. And after about 2 weeks, they took that off, you know. They said, forget that. We're not going to let that information go out there. And I was a little surprised, but at the same time, not totally surprised that they took it off of Facebook. Because, you know, they don't want people to really know if that is the case, you know. And that gentleman spoke on that. And whether that's 100% true or not, I can't say I know for sure that it is true, that, you know, this was a laboratory invention that came about, that it wasn't something that came about from dealing with, you know, nature, natural development of it, you know, and that's the thing. And if that's the case, then, you know, the COVID was created, and now we got the vaccine that hasn't even been approved as a vaccine. You know, sometimes when people are taking these vaccines, shortly thereafter, they die. And of course, people say, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's the COVID. Yeah, right. Yeah, the COVID vaccine that could be killing them too." But they don't, you know, really want to say anything about that because they want more and more people to take it. So all I can say at this time is that we do have to be careful on that. Yeah, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Yeah, let's go to commercial break. We're on the other side of the hour, and we'll be right back.
Okay, no problem. You got it, my brother.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We online. We in your speakers. Hitting on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Ray. I'm on payment with NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? It's your boy Big D.
It's your folk checking traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy Boss Lena.
Your boy Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Miles.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partners, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRonRobinson, RevRon11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour bookings, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service, how to meet and network with people in other cities, how to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Yeah, entertainment, worldwide, network, we on live, we in your speakers, and on your mind.
to be honest, this is probably going to be the, and I'm saying this at this table, the most pro-black president that we've had in our lifetime.
So had that asked me, I would have said, you know, before you praise this president for being pro-black, before you praise this president for caring about ethnic communities and marginalized populations, do your homework. Well, some of y'all didn't do your homework. They didn't do their homework. So let me tell you just a little bit of research, not just him personally, but also some of his policies. Perhaps before they went and sat at this table, they should have done their homework. Because if they had done their homework, they would have known that President Trump has ramped up mass incarceration by instructing Attorney General Jeff Sessions to revitalize the war on drugs. They would have known that of the 87 picks for federal judges, 85 have been white and just one has been black and one has been Hispanic. They would have known that President Trump supported the Department of Justice engaging in unlawful voter purges, making it difficult for blacks to go and vote. They would have known that Trump is ending protection for predatory lenders, which disproportionately harm black people. They would have known that he is ignoring the affordable housing crisis by ordering HUD to triple the rents of poor tenants in public housing, which mostly affect black people. Do your homework. They would have known that he is proposing cutting $200 billion over the next 10 years from supplemental nutrition assistance programs that will bring more hunger in black and brown communities. They would have known that Trump is worsening the health of black communities through environmental deregulation, which disproportionately harms black people through exposure to pollution. Now, that's just a few on the policy side, but you don't have to go too far to ask what about him personally would make me know that he is not pro-black. I'm glad you asked, because in 1970, Trump's real estate company tried to avoid renting apartments to black tenants and gave preferential treatment to white tenants. He began his 2016 presidential campaign with a speech disparaging Mexican immigrants as criminals and rapists. Y'all remember that? In 2016, he said of people of color, you are living in poverty, your schools are no good, you have no jobs. Hold on, I'm a product of HBCU, and I'm a product of black school systems and black teachers. Don't you ever tell me that my black schools are... Hold on, I ain't done. He says you have no jobs, so what do you have to lose from electing me? In 2017, Trump said 15,000 recent immigrants from Haiti all have AIDS, and 40,000 Nigerians once seeing the United States would want to go back to their huts in Africa. He spent years suggesting that the nation's first black president was not a citizen of these United States. He called Puerto Ricans, who's criticized his administration's response to Hurricane Maria, he called them politically motivated ingrates. Hold on, but he called those who marched beside white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia, he called them very fine people. He hired Steve Bannon, a white nationalist, as his chief strategist. He called Haiti and other African nations S-hole countries, and he's taking credit for an economy that has not been built on his administration, but was built on the backs of 8 years of hard work under the Obama administration. Negroes, please, don't you come up in here talking about this is the most pro-black president that you have ever seen, when the record suggests that he cares nothing about people of color.
Okay. Yeah, so that definitely speaks about the truth about good old Trump and the dumping it. He definitely dumped a lot of stuff on our people. And it's really sad to see that, you know, even though he's done that, you still have quite a few black people that wanted to vote for him, which was really crazy, you know. I couldn't really understand how, if somebody's spitting in your face, you're going to say, hey, you know, I still like you, I still want to respect you, and I really want to help you. You know, it's ridiculous. If somebody's spitting in your face and disrespecting you like that, why would you want to help them, you know, after they're doing all of that crazy stuff to you? But anyway, the bottom line is that he didn't get reelected, and that's a good thing. Now, even though that, like you say, that Biden is in office, we just can't sit back and say, okay, good. We don't have to worry about nothing. Biden's going to take care of everything and turn everything around for us. But if you're just going to sit on the sideline and just let him do what he wants to do, don't be surprised to see, you know, that a lot of things that he could be and should be doing that he's not going to do because, you know, there's already a rigid, strict way of how they want certain things to be done for our people. But even with, you know, Obama, when he was in office, you know, a lot of people commented on the fact that he didn't accomplish a lot of things that he could have and should have for our people. But the bottom line was, if you had several different attempts that was made on, you know, assassinating you as a president, and they were trying to tell you, listen, if you really going to step up and try to help your people out, you know, we're going to take you out, you know. And that's what the message that they tried to get across to him. And eventually he did kind of back up a little bit. And I can understand it. Some people say, oh, man, don't worry about it. Let them kill you. But the bottom line, you could have done this, that, and the other. But it's easy to say let them kill you. But when your life is on the line, then that's a whole other story. But when somebody else's life is on the line, it's easy to just say, well, no, no, you just let them kill you. Don't worry about it. But one thing for sure, you know, that's one of the reasons, like I said before, when you're dealing with politics, that's one thing. Because it's not really even the politicians that control this country. It's the 1% that do. They're the ones with the power. They're the ones with the money to, you know, cause different things to happen the way that they want to see it happen. And that's why even with good old Kennedy, you know, when he did that for us in the civil rights movement, you know, him and good old Martin Luther King, you know, they had met a number of times, and Martin was able to get him to see that, hey, you know, you got to treat our people with some respect and try to help our people out instead of you guys, you know, keep, you know, disrespecting us and treating us in such a negative way. And Kennedy said, you know what, I'll give you guys a little play. I'll let you guys, you know, become, you know, citizens in this country instead of being, actually, you know, let you guys be, you know, citizens. So he tried to help them out. And behind that, shortly thereafter, he was assassinated. And not only him, but because they knew him and his brother were on the same wavelength of trying to help all the people out instead of just helping just the white people out, they assassinated his brother too. So all of these things happen because things are set a certain way. But what we have to remember and keep in mind is that through the awesome, amazing, and spectacular power of God, we can bring about some positive changes. And we just need to know that it can be done, and it's no question about whether it might work or whether it could work. The bottom line is that we just need to participate in utilizing this ability to do these things so that we can make it work. And that's the thing. If you don't utilize it because you don't see it as an opportunity that even exists, then how can you actually bring about any change with it? But it is a great opportunity that definitely does exist. But the bottom line is, if you don't utilize it, then you'll never be able to see the results that you want to see come about through that happening. So anyway, as I said before, we truly, truly need to look at really focusing on ourselves, coming together in spiritual unity to be a blessing for our community. And if we can actually focus on that, then we can turn a lot of this negativity around, whether it be our children getting gunned down and killed by killing each other because of these gang wars, whether it's a situation where poverty is, you know, making things very discomfortable and really stressful and negative in so many different ways for our folks as well. And if we look at the situation where we can really start to utilize the power of God and Christ to actually bring about some positive change, then that positive change will happen. But we have to see it as our ability and one of our most powerful tools that we can use in the universe to really bring about some positive change. And if we start to see it from that perspective and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is the most powerful source of power in the universe, then when we become in oneness with Him, when we actually try to do positive things with God, then those things will come about. But we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it can all come about. And that's the thing. So that's something else that we need to really focus on. And once we start to do that as a serious group, I don't know how many people are on the line with us right now, because I know we got came on a little late.
Yeah, we're going to go until 11:30. We got a lot of more time. I think you hit something on the button that we can explore with Attorney Jeff Robinson, get an extensive study on enslavement and the way it affects us now. And mm-hmm. some of that as well. That'll give us a good understanding of where we are as a people in America. And then mm-hmm. we can come back and we can proceed with programming.
Okay, sounds good. So we still want to do the meditation.
If you have ever owned a slave, please raise your hand. Slavery is not our fault. We didn't do it. We didn't cause it. It's not our responsibility, but it is our shared history. And when we try and turn it into something that it's not, when we try and make more light of it than it was, then we are denying who we really are, and we are impeding our ability to truly move forward as a community or as a nation.
In most cases, in the South, that's the way it worked, because they were treated as family, and they knew what they had. They didn't know what they were being faced with if they left.
So your view is that enslaved people were treated as family?
That's basically the way it was down South.
So what I want to talk to you about is part of the ugliness of our history. I want all of us to understand just how we laid the groundwork to own other human beings as property.
And so I think what I'm looking at are shackles that were designed for an adult male and shackles that were designed for a child of maybe 3 or 4.
Yes, yes.
41 of the 56 people who signed the Declaration of Independence owned other human beings as property. When they were talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they saw that as being completely consistent with enslaving people.
Question. What kind of things happened here?
Lynchings or hangings took place here on this very spot.
Black folks here in Charleston refer to it as the lynching tree.
America has demonstrated its greatness time and time and time again, and America is one of the most racist countries on the face of the earth. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. It is not an either or.
There must be a revolution of values in our country, because some of the values that presently exist are certainly out of line with the idealistic structure that brought our nation into being.
I was 11 years old in 1968, and to my young eyes, we had been on a path toward racial justice that was amazing. There was the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and we were seemingly, to me, at a tipping point where we were either going to roll forward with this incredible momentum on racial justice, or we could roll back. And then April 4th happened, and King got shot in the neck, and it felt like the whole thing just rolled back.
And a man grabbed me by the arm and said, "We don't allow blacks in the gym." And I remember turning to y'all, and I said, "They've got a problem with the clock and with what's going on here. We all are out here. We're leaving."
I didn't know that.
I figured not.
Once again, America is having to look at issues of race dead in the eye, and once again, we are at a tipping point. And the reason I'm asking us to think about this is that literally the future is at stake.
And Larry, he came out with his hands in the air and said, "Don't shoot." Put the shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger at close range.
And what I'm going to ask us to do tonight is to have a naked lunch moment with race in America. It's that moment when everyone has to take a look at what is really on the end of their fork.
If I may ask you a question, Jeff, perhaps if Dylann Roof was educated, if he understood that he may not have gone down this path, what are your thoughts?
This is not going to be easy, but I can promise you this. It will never get easier to have an honest discussion about race in America than it is right now. Because if we wait, it is only going to get harder.
The Larry that you heard referred to in that trailer was a young man named Larry Payne, who was 6 years older than I was, and he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee the week before King was assassinated, 1 week to the day. There was a march in support of striking sanitation workers, and that march broke into violence. Larry was confronted by a police officer who put a shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger. And his memory has been one of the things that's been forgotten about the garbage strike and the movement in Memphis. So I am Jeff Robinson, and I am a criminal defense lawyer from Seattle, Washington. And you could be asking, why are you here and why are you doing this? And that would be a completely legitimate question. And this is the way I'm going to answer it. In 2011, I became a parent because my wife's younger sister, Jeannie, who lived in Queens, New York, was suffering from MS and she passed away. And her 13-year-old son, Matthew, my nephew, then became my 13-year-old son because he was being raised by Jeannie and Jeannie's mother. Jeannie passed away in April of 2011, and her mom, my wife's mom, passed away in November of 2011. So Matt lost both of his parents. His father was never in the picture, and he moved to Seattle. Now, I was terrified about being a parent because I didn't know anything about how to do that. And I was scared a lot. But I was more scared because there was a young black man that moved into my home. And my work as a criminal defense lawyer in Seattle had been for 30 or 35 years working on issues of racial justice, working on issues for clients of color, working and speaking around the country on these issues. They were very important to me, but they were academic to a certain extent until Matthew showed up on my doorstep. And I got scared. And one of the reasons I was scared is that there had been a narrative going on in America about young black men for more than a decade, and it went something like this.
They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heal.
Bring them to heal. As soon as you start talking about human beings like they're animals, get ready for some really bad shit to come. Because that's how we do it in America. We dehumanize people before we start to treat them as less than human. And so I was scared and I didn't know what to do, and I just started reading. And as I started reading, I was shocked. I didn't even know what I was looking for. But I started reading facts about our history in America that I had never seen before, that I had never heard before. And it was just scaring me, and it was shocking me. And it was shocking me because, as I said in that clip, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee in 1956 and was assassinated in 1968. The civil rights movement wasn't something I read about in a book. It was what we were living when we stepped out the door of our house in the black neighborhoods in Memphis, Tennessee every day of our lives. And yet I was reading about these facts about our history that I had never heard before. I have had one of the best educations in America. I went to Marquette University and Harvard Law School, and nobody ever taught me this stuff. And so I felt humiliated, and then I felt angry because I thought, well, how come nobody taught me this? And so I thought, I'm going to forgive myself and get pissed off at my teachers, and I'll blame them. And then I thought, well, how could they have taught me if they weren't taught? And the amazing thing about this stuff is that these facts are hiding in plain sight. All you have to do is go and look, because human beings from the time of the cave drawings in France that are 30,000 years old, human beings have a trait that has always been part of our existence. When we think we're doing something important, we write stuff down. And we keep it so people can read it later. And our history, from the time the colony started, is written down in plain fact for anybody that wants to take a look. And so.
And we're back with Experiencing Spiritual Unity with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Just want to get a little eye-opening about who we are, what America's about, and why we're here. Back to Dr. Ben.
Okay, well, I'm glad to see that we had someone that we could hear things from the the white people's perspective, because a lot of times we just hear it from a very negative perspective, and they don't even have so any concern or feeling towards us. So this guy sounded like he was interested in seeing some positive things come about for us. But anyway, what I would like to do at this point, because, our time, I believe you said it was going to 11:30 at this time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because what I was thinking is what would be good is if we could do the meditation at this point, and what we could do is come together in that mindset, for a moment, and in spirituality, to actually focus on seeing the actual blessing that can come out of us coming together in spiritual unity. And also, I wanted to ask you, Ron, because I know we got came on kind of late here. Are there any people that are on the line with us right now, or not really?
Not at the moment.
Right, okay. I was just saying that. I didn't think that there would be, a huge amount. And I was would have been surprised if you had told me 5 or 6 people were going to be on. So I was going to say, what? Okay. But anyway, being that we don't, because, we weren't able to start at that time. Like I said before, there was an old saying in the Bible that said, 2 or 3 people touching and agreeing in my name, and I should be there in the midst to bless. So all I can say at this point is if we could start off, Brother Ron, with a nice prayer, in regards to the healing and uplifting and blessing of our community, that would be great. And then,
okay,
like I said, right behind that, I'll come with the meditation, and we'll see what we could do from there.
Okay. Let every heart and mind be mindful of the spirit in you, the meditation of God in heart. Father, right now we submit ourselves unto thee. We come in holy spiritualness. We come in total meditation to thee, O Father. And as we come, we ask and we're seeking thee, O Father, that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to hear our brother, Dr. Benjamin Bridges, and the spiritual awakening in our hearts. Everyone right now, by the sound of my voice, bring your spirit into your mind and bring your meditation into your heart and feel the healing power of your spirit and God. We're asking that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the sound of my voice, have a spiritual mentality right now and a meditative mindset. We ask these blessings upon us from our Creator, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we say amen, amen, amen.
Amen, my brother. I'm glad that you brought that wonderful prayer out and shared that with us. What we're going to do right now is do the 3 deep breaths and then go right into the meditation. And again, let's start off with the first breath. Breathe in deep. Peace and harmony with God, and also just a wonderful feeling of calmness. Yes, indeed. And we're going to breathe out all the stress, the anxiety, and the tension that many times comes our way, and we're just totally erasing that from us today. Just leaving that totally out. Now, our second breath. Let us breathe in the awesome, spiritual, and amazing power of God that He has blessed us all with, our God-given power. And being that we have this God-given power, we are giving thanks to God for allowing us to activate this power, to utilize it in a positive and wonderful way so that we can start to live in the bright, shining sunlight of a brand new day. So let us know for surety that our God-given power that has been bestowed upon us is now being activated within us. And being that that is true, there are great and wonderful things that we can now do. So right now, let us know for surety that we're utilizing our spiritual ability through God and Christ's grace, love, and mercy, we can turn a lot of the negative things that we've been dealing with, negative problems of the past, we can erase and no longer have to deal with at last. But we have to really believe it and know that God's ability to start to show that we have the ability to turn all of this negativity and madness around and get rid of our people's serious little frown and know that our lives can truly be totally changed and resurrected from the negativity of the past, and that we can be set free at last. Our last breath. Let us breathe in the ability to bring about positive change, to manifest wealth, to stop the brick walls of racism that are trying to hold us down and keep us back from being able to help our people. Let us focus also on the positive change of ending the gang wars that have been focused in our community so strongly. And I thank God for not hearing about the many youth that normally I hear on the news that have been gunned down and killed. And this is great. But now we want to erase any negative news at all about our children being gunned down and murdered and end the gang war. Not only here in New York, but let us see it being expanded beyond New York into the other major cities where these gangs do exist. Let us see the divine love of God. Let us see the divine love of Christ going into the minds and hearts of every single gang member that has no problem in reaching out to kill youth from other gangs. Let us take away all of that negative and twisted and demonic thoughts and feelings that they have, that it's all right for them to kill each other. Let all of that be totally erased and be replaced with the divine love of God in Christ. And as it is truly, truly being replaced in their minds and hearts, they will be blessed to have a brand new start. And I give thanks to God for allowing these wonderful, awesome, and amazing things to truly come about, because our children deserve to live a great and positive life. They don't need to go into early grades at 12, 13, 15, 18 years old. They don't need to just begin their lives and then have to die. They can live, as I said, positive life without all of this negativity that they have to embrace. So all of that negative craziness can now be totally erased through the power of God, through the power of Christ. We now see a brand new reality. And just know for sure that God in Christ is now opening up the door to wealth and prosperity for our people to have. Let us see it. Let us believe it. Let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all these great, awesome, and amazing goals and dreams will truly come about. No longer do we have to be stuck in the chains of poverty. May all those chains be totally broken and totally removed. And our people are now free to be embracing wealth and prosperity. Let us know it, and let us begin to show it through the power of spiritual unity with God in Christ, that wonderful, awesome, and amazing things in our lives will now start to come about. And all we really need to do is to see it and believe it. And we will achieve it. See it and believe it, and these great, awesome, and amazing goals and dreams, we will receive it. All we have to do is to know that it can and will be true, that these wonderful opportunities will come through, and that we are spiritual God beings that have the ability to really see things from a whole nother place and space. Because when you see things from a spiritual reality, there's no limitation that can hold you back, because the supernatural power of God in Christ is so awesome, so amazing, so spectacular that these negative things cannot hold you back. Even myself, I'll never forget, I had four white police officers getting ready to gun me down. And then the Lord came through and blessed my situation so that my negativity could not be found with 10 or 20 bullets in me, because they wanted to kill me. But the bottom line is that the Lord said, no, this brother right here has a mission here on earth that he must fulfill, and I am not going to let you take his life. No, you cannot do this. And I was very thankful to the Lord for allowing me to survive the negativity that these guys had planned for me. And all I could say is, just like the saving of my life, saving of our people's lives from poverty and many other negative things that we are encountering today, all of that negativity can be washed away and be totally cleansed and be totally removed. But we have to get our minds and hearts in full faith in God and Christ and know that our ability to see the huge new reality